Our text for this morning is found in Exodus 18, verse 21, especially on the mandate given to the people that were called to serve in office. Exodus 18, verse 21, "Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens." Thus far. After the sermon, let us sing from Psalm 111, the stanzas 4 and 5. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we are witness to the changing of the guard. Three brothers laid down their office as elder or deacon and pass on the torch to three others who stand ready to carry on the work of governing the Church of Christ. And it is a real blessing that year after year the Lord continues to relay of guarding the truth and shepherding the flock by calling men to look after the well-being of His Church through supervision and the ministry of mercy. And this work of looking after the needs of the congregation has a long history. In the form for the ordination of elders and deacons, we are informed that already in the Old Testament, the people of God enjoyed the leadership and guidance of elders. And this is clearly seen in the institution of the 70 elders appointed by Moses at the advice of Jethro, his father-in-law, as we read it from Exodus 18. And with that in mind, I bring you God's word about the institution of the offices in the church. And we are going to first of all focus on the Old Testament background to the office. Secondly, we're going to look at the qualification for being an office bearer. And thirdly, we are looking at our responsibility as church community towards those who are in office. First, then, the Old Testament background. Now, early in the book of Exodus, we come across the term elder for the first time. From then on, we read about it frequently throughout the Bible, and the task and office of the elders plays a major role in shepherding the flock of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New. But if it is not until the book of Exodus that we read about elders, the question arises why there is not any mention of elders in the book of Genesis. And the answer is not hard to find, I believe. You see, with Exodus, we are standing at the beginning of a new era. We are standing at the beginning of a new start for God's people. The Lord is going to bring His people from a strange land, that Egypt, to the promised homeland after more than 400 years in Egypt. You see, when Jacob moved to Egypt because of the famine, he went there as head of his family of about 70 people. And in those days, the responsibility for the clan fell on the shoulders of the patriarch of the family. He ruled over the whole clan, including his married sons and their families. It was truly a patriarchal society where the uncontested rule over the affairs of the family and the clan rested with the father. It began with Abraham, who was succeeded by Isaac, who in turn was followed by Jacob. And normally the leadership was passed on to the eldest son. And it is therefore quite understandable that men of more mature age came into these positions of leadership. And this also explains the designation of elder, how it came into use, and how the influence of the older men began to be felt in the nation. Now, during the 400 years in Egypt, though, the Israelite tribes had grown from a small clan of 70 people to a numerous and a mighty nation. And no doubt these 400 years change, in these 400 years change took place, looking after the affairs of the people. It was impossible for one man to do this all on his own, since there were now 12 tribes in Israel. And it is clear from what Moses tells us in Deuteronomy 1 verse 10, that because of this great multitude, the leadership and supervision became a task of a select group of elders chosen from among the many elders in Israel. Now, while they were living in Egypt, they were already elders in Israel. It just didn't happen all of a sudden at the time when they were going towards the Promised Land. No, already in their time of Israel, they were elders. We know that much from Exodus 3 verse 16. For Moses is called by God to lead his people to freedom. And where did the Lord tell him to start? Well, he said to Moses to gather the elders of Israel together and inform them of God's mighty plan. So Moses had to seek out the elders already in Israel to do God's bidding. Moses had to go to the elders in charge of the people, and these leaders had to go with Moses to Pharaoh to demand the king that he would let the Israelites go free. So then there was already a group of elders who gave leadership and guidance to the people. Now the word elder implies someone of a more mature age. Literally, the word there is a bearded one. So elders were people of more mature age within the community. And in providing leadership, age is an asset and it has an advantage because age brings with it practical wisdom and experience. And this qualification, my brothers and sisters, you will understand, is helpful. Because many things in life are assessed and judged better by people who have been taught and whose lives have been shaped by life experiences and who can pass on this practical wisdom and insight to a younger generation and warn the younger generation against pitfalls. Now, if that's so, you may wonder, and you may be inclined to comment, that not all the brothers to be ordained who are an elder or deacon, that they fit that description fully. For some of them are not more advanced in years than many of you sitting here in church. So does that mean that we are making a mistake by ordaining people like that in the office of elder or deacon? Now, technically, that would be the case if the term elder in the Bible was used exclusively for the designation of age. But in the course of time, the term elder received a twofold meaning. It retained the designation of someone of a mature age, so older person, but it also acquired the use of the title of a specific office, and that is certainly the case in the New Testament times. So that raises the question, when did this shift to a specific office begin? And I believe it came about upon Jethro's urging to Moses to appoint helpers. So these people were different elders than the elders that were already in Egypt. These people were designated, they were appointed and chosen and appointed by Moses to be the leaders in Israel. And that happened because Moses' father-in-law saw how busy Moses was in dealing with all the affairs of the people. And Jethro realized that this just could not go on like that much longer. And that is why he urged Moses to appoint several judges to help ease his burden. And then we read in verse 23, he says, "If you do this, Moses, God will direct you, you will be able to endure, and all this people will go to their place in peace." So the appointment of elders had a twofold purpose. It would not only reduce the workload for Moses, but it would also settle the peace in the community in a much better way. Now, it's clear from Scripture that Jethro's advice had God's approval. In Numbers 11 verse 16, the Lord God himself told Moses to select 70 men from the elders of Israel to bear the burden with him. And these elders were representatives of the whole community who ruled Israel along with Moses, and who ruled Israel later on with Joshua. And notice, Joshua was a younger man who even became Moses' successor. And so together with Moses, these elders had authority to command the people. Now this is a brief sketch of the Old Testament background of the office of elder as we know it today. But what was the reason? Well, God's purpose for instituting this office is to provide special care for his people and to assist one another in the day-to-day affairs of faithful service to God. But you may wonder, why all this attention to the elders? Are we not going to ordain a deacon as well? Why then does it always seem that at the ordination time the deacons are sort of left out of the picture? Well, if you look at the Old Testament setting, the Old Testament background, you will find out that the deacons are never left out of the picture. Oh, it is true that the office of deacon is not really specifically mentioned in the Old Testament. And it is also true that the office of deacon is different in nature, and it appears to be more of a New Testament origin. However, it would be wrong to assume that the elders, as God's shepherds over his flock, did not have the duty towards the ministry of mercy. It is erroneous to think or imagine that the elders dealt only with what we tend to call spiritual matters, you know, doctrinal and supervisory matters, and that these elders had nothing else to do. Well, from the Old Testament, it's very clear that they also had to deal with issues that we now refer to as the ministry of mercy. For that ministry of mercy is also spiritual care. For how often don't you read in the Old Testament that God rebuked the elders for having let go of that aspect of their ministry, that they didn't look after the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans? You see, neglect for the needy weighs as a heavy liability upon them. And that is why the deacons are not left out of the picture in any ordination service, even though there seems to be the emphasis on the eldership. Their office is, as it were, a more focused branch of the work that needs to be done within the congregation. And so God's whole purpose for having elders in the Old Testament and for having elders and deacons now, God's whole purpose is to guide his people in his ways. The Lord God calls men to be elders and deacons to keep us fired up, so to speak, to keep us fired up for the service to God and to help us press on to the goal of perfection. And that brings us then to the second point. We must look at the qualifications of the office bearers. Now, if you have your Bibles open, you will see that Moses had to choose capable men. He had to look for men who fear God, who are trustworthy, and who hate dishonest gain. And when you hear this requirement, we are right away reminded of the qualifications for elders and for deacons, as stipulated in Paul's letter to Timothy and Titus. For are these not the qualifications we still are looking for? We look for capable men who fear God and who are trustworthy. Now, when the consistory with the deacons prepares a list of nominees from which the elders and deacons are chosen, we look for capable men The church order speaks about men who are fit for office. Men who can give sound leadership and guidance to the congregation. We look for brothers who fear and love God with solid conviction. We look for men who wish to serve the Lord from the heart. And you see, that's the most important requirement. For these brothers are called to be shepherds of God's flock that is under their care, and who are to set an example in their own families, but also in the church family. For you see, looking after the flock has been the Lord's charge right from the beginning of the institution of the office. Every ordination service, we are reminded of the mandate in order to help the office bearers keep the true perspective of what they are supposed to be doing. It helps them realize that the congregation under the care is God's people, and it is Christ's church that they serve, but also Christ's church to which they belong. Overseers are not just members who are giving leadership. At the same time, they're also members of the congregation. And this means that as members of Christ's church, they are not just a notch above the congregation. In the role of office bearers, they stand apart. But they also, and so that way they enjoy special privileges to a degree. But they do not enjoy certain privileges which others do not have. Whatever leadership the elders give, and the direction that they set, they too are subject to that direction. And that is why Moses had to look for capable men who fear God. If the leaders do not fear the Lord, how can they instill reverence and love for God in others? The requirement is for men who can give God-given leadership and God-honoring leadership. For they serve Christ in leading his church. And the church of Christ, this is new creation. And the purpose and the goal of that new creation is perfection. Now, this perfection is not found on this side of heaven, but this perfection has to be emphasized and it has to be focused on. You are God's people, and the elders and also the deacons serve Christ to make sure that you are living as God's people. And therefore, they also have to have another requirement. Not just that they fear God, but that office bearers are also trustworthy. Now, the first thing that I think we tend to think of here is that these men must be trustworthy in the sense that they can be trusted with defending and promoting the truth about God and his saving work in Jesus Christ. And indeed, that is essential. A key requirement that Paul stresses in his letter to Titus is that elders must encourage with sound doctrine and refute those who oppose sound doctrine. But elders and deacons must also be trustworthy in another way, in a very sensitive area. They must be trustworthy so that all of you can confide in them and tell them things in confidence, knowing that they will keep it to themselves and not tell it to their wives or anyone else. And here I want to impress upon the office bearers that you honor that trust. If you have difficulty in your office that you want to share, share it with your fellow office bearer and not with a family member, so that the family member doesn't know the issues that live maybe in the congregation, so that every family member can look at everybody else in the church and say, this is my brother and my sister in Christ, without saying, oh, but there's an issue there. Keep the issues as consistory in the consistory, brothers, so that the trust within the congregation is not broken. For nothing hurts more than when your trust in someone is betrayed.
And so you will realize, my brothers and sisters, that these qualifications for the office in church are by no means slight. Every elder or deacon feels the weight of this responsibility pressing upon him. All office bearers will readily admit that God has set a high standard. He has set a high standard to live up to for a people who are not perfect. And keep that in mind, my brothers and sisters, the elders and the deacons, they are not perfect people. And I say this because if people were to spend as much time praying for one another as criticizing one another, we would all be the better for it. Remember these brothers in their office. And remember them regularly in prayer to God, for they may grow, so that they may grow in the fear of the Lord and so be able to lead you as congregation and guide you in the ways of the Lord. Show that you stand behind them and that you acknowledge them as your God-ordained elders who are worthy of double honor because of their God-given office. And so we've, in the last place, turn our attention to your responsibility towards those in office. Now, the danger is always very real that in a worship service of this nature, the congregation feels that the message of the sermon is primarily intended for office bearers and for those to be ordained rather than for them, the congregation. Well, let me correct any feeling of imbalance by highlighting your responsibility towards the office bearers. For yes, there is a responsibility on your part as well, as there needs to be cooperation from you as congregation, because these men have been placed over you as rulers. Now that's important to remember. In the normal course of events, the congregation sees the brothers in their office of elder and deacon primarily on Sunday. If they're on duty, they sit up front and they collect the money. And once a year, two elders bring you an official family visit. And I might add, hopefully the brothers will make time. Listen, I said make time, not find time, because time is usually not found. But make time for making extra visits at other times besides the family visit. And also the deacons should be in the habit of stopping by from time to time to find out if there are any personal needs with which they can be of help, or maybe just to find out how you, as a member of congregation, can be of help to others within the congregation. That's also part of the ministry of mercy. And so then, when office bearers come for a visit, what is your responsibility toward them? Well, your responsibility is to receive them and to recognize them that they have been placed over you by God Himself. And that is because the authority of the elders and deacons does not depend on their person. You may not even like the elder that has been assigned to you as a person. But the emphasis is on the office of that person, the office that they hold. And that is why they are called office bearers. They hold the office of elder. They hold the office or task of deacon. And let me highlight for you that the first question to which each office bearer must give an answer is the question, do you feel in your heart that God Himself, through His congregation, has called you to this office? Did you hear that? That God has called him to that office. The conviction that the brothers have been called by God Himself to their respective office must also therefore reside with you in your hearts, my brothers and sisters. And so when these brothers visit you in their capacity of elder or deacon, then they are not a bunch of guys who come and visit you. Now receive them as men who were set over you to help you in serving the Lord. And so then when the brothers visit you or talk with you about faith and your life with the Lord, it is not because they are a noisy group of people who want to put you on the hot seat or meddle in your affairs. No, they come as shepherds. They come as people who bring pastoral care, and therefore also the elders in particular are pastors within your church. They come as ambassadors of Christ who have at heart the well-being of each individual member, and also not just individually, but also as church community, the congregation. So in carrying out their duties, they must ask pertinent questions to which they expect an honest and clear-cut response. And if you, as congregation, have suggestions on how to improve their visits to you, then please share that with them. They'd love to learn. You see, their visits are meant to find out whether you, as a member of Christ's church, endeavor to serve God with your heart, that you want to serve Him from the heart, whether you live in thankfulness and obedience to God for the salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. And if it should ever become necessary, my brothers and sisters, and may God forbid, that the elders must admonish you, accept their admonition and guidance, because they do this at the command of the Lord Himself. And if ever the need arises for the deacons to guide you in financial matters, then accept that guidance. Or if they call upon you to give more liberally, either in money or in time, in order to alleviate a need in the congregation, then do so with a thankful heart if you have the ability to do so. For they too do this work at the command of Christ. And if the work of the elders and the deacons is to bear fruit within the congregation, then there must be the proper awareness that in their office they serve the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The office bearers are shepherds under the Lord Jesus Christ, and to Him, first of all, they are accountable. Yeah, we read in Scripture that the elders, the office bearers, must give account to the Master of all their actions. But, and there's always a but somewhere, right? But so are you. You too have to give account to the Lord for all your actions, also towards the office bearers. Everyone will have to give account whether we receive these men as ambassadors of Christ, as people appointed by God and placed over us by the Lord Himself. And so we will have to give account whether we follow their sound leadership and guidance. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, do not look slightly upon this requirement, for the task of these brothers is to help you press on to the goal of perfection. So let me sum it up in this way. How should we look at this ordination service? Well, let us view it as God's blessing that we are witnessing another round in the relay that helps us run the race of faith. Amen.